I'd like to think a little bit this morning about our dealing with ourselves. And I think it's very important for us to be honest with ourselves. And deal with ourselves and... In order to really deal with yourself, I believe we got to learn to drop the circumstances that causes it, because a lot of times we'll want to deal with that but not get around to dealing with ourselves. There's a passage of scripture that says something like, confessing your faults one to the other that you might be healed. There's a real benefit in doing that. But it's hard to do. It takes a lot of humility to confess a fault. But it's not just the confessing of the fault. It's the fact that if I confess a fault, I make myself vulnerable to thoughts. Or, for instance, if I was to say, you all pray for me, I have a real trouble with making myself get up in the mornings, and I just can't hardly get up, and I need help to be able to do it. It's hindering my life. It's hindering my family. It hinders what I do. Help me. Now, I don't have that problem. I usually get up. I usually have problems staying in bed. I usually get up. But if I had that problem and I told you that, then the next time I'm not on time for Sunday school, it's very likely you could think, there he goes again. He devil's bothering him. He can't get out of bed again. Or if I was to say to you, listen, you all pray for me. I have a problem of eating too much, and sometimes I just can't help myself, and I want to eat, and then I want to eat some more, and then we have a big spread downstairs, and I get ready to go and get me some more. I'm gonna look around and wonder who's gonna think, well, the devil's gonna take advantage of him because he can't control himself. So what I'm saying is that it takes a lot to be able to do that, to trust the company you're in and to be able to humble yourself to say that and really to deal with that. But my point is if we really want help, if our desire is really to please the Lord with our lives, if we have the desire to really deal with ourselves and get that help, we're going to go through, do what we have to do to be able to get that help. It's very, very human to blame the circumstances around us rather than taking responsibility for why I did that, but you. See? That happens in marriages, it happens in families, it happens in congregations, it happens with neighbors, it happens with people. Yes, I did, but what did? What happened? That's not a true assessment. It's not really, you can't control everything else, but we're really, really willing to deal with our own lives, deal with ourselves. We'll put that aside and say, why did I do that? Lord, help me. Now, the scripture I want to look at starting, all very familiar here, in Genesis, third chapter of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired, she to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, Now here is the results, the initial results of what sin had already done in Adam and Eve's heart. They were made pure and in the image of God. They didn't distort, they didn't lie, they didn't cheat, they didn't have those things in their lives. But the first results that we see from Adam, from his transgression, was when the Lord asked him, Who told you this? How did you get to this place? His answer was the woman that you gave me. Would Adam have been deceived if God hadn't gave him Eve? That's what he's saying. Hey, I wouldn't have been deceived if you hadn't gave me the woman. Let's forget the circumstances that causes this. This is what Adam needed to deal with, was Adam. Because circumstances in life, folks, are going to be all the way around us. You're going to run into things in life, right? The fact that somebody don't drive right is a fact of life. Somebody yields over the yellow line, fact of life. You come up to the red light and you're in a hurry and it's red, it turns green and the guys in front of you won't go. Fact of life. I wouldn't have been impatient and lost my temper had they have moved out. I wouldn't have had this problem if everybody would pay attention and run their lives as efficiently as I run mine. If you quit dilly-dallying around, I tell my family regularly, you all fool around more. I even got scientific one day with them and said, listen, if you fool around, I forget exactly what it was, but I had thought about it. If you all waste these many minutes every time you do this, that's going to equal so many minutes a day, so many minutes a week, and at the end of a lifetime, you've wasted 2.5 years. Something like that. So everything's not going. I wouldn't be impatient if you all would move the way you should be moving. I tell my family quite often, we drive all the way to Elkins and we get over there and I stop and put it in park, turn the key off, and somebody says, Where's my shoes? We just drove 1 hour and 15 minutes to get your shoes on. Be going down the highway and there's a rest stop. It's okay. There's a rest stop up here. Drive 10 miles and they don't have their shoes on. You got all the time with your shoes on. If you do that all your life, when you get there, you're wasting all your life. Hold it, Marty. That's life. Deal with yourself. Deal with you. Adam, how did you know that? Lord, have mercy on me. I've done something you told me not to do. Is that not the correct answer? The correct answer is I don't have the strength of character, Lord. You're going to have to help me to do this because I don't have the strength of character to be able to do these things. So I'm going to need your power and strength to do it. So Lord, help me. No, I wouldn't have done it if you, God, you're the blame. Do you know Adam's actually blaming God here? It's your fault. I wouldn't have been in the place of temptation. I wouldn't be falling right now. I wouldn't be thinking the way I was if you hadn't gave me the woman. the circumstance caused it. Eve didn't do much better in this. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, now it's a little harder to understand, but it's still the same. She says, the serpent beguiled me. Which means, he was smarter than me. Lord, why did you put a serpent that was wiser than we are in the garden? I would have never have fell for that trick if there hadn't have been a serpent that was wiser than me that beguiled me. Circumstances are going to happen in life. And we're not always going to get the attention that we feel like's due us. We're not going to always be treated the way we think we ought to be. We're not always going to do that. So it comes down to this idea that it's really hard for me to deal with myself as long as these circumstances are here that I can rely on to say, this is why. This is why I'm what I am. But you know, there'll never be victory in the excuses. We're never going to have the victory over those things when we simply just say, it was his fault. It's his fault. Listen, if everybody would learn to drive, everybody's not going to learn to do it. And everybody, it's not up. I'm just telling you, circumstances are going to keep on happening. And the Lord allows there to be a tree in your garden. And he allows the devil to tempt. And every one of these things are going to be designed. And he's going to allow people to press buttons. And all of these things are nothing more than gauges to say where people really are at. And when we become, to be honest, to deal with ourselves, the only way to really do that is start laying the people that aside, the circumstances aside, and deal with the Lord directly. This is who I am. This is who I am. I want to look at another scripture over in Luke. Luke 10th chapter. 25 says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, I would say that would be a common thing, a willingness to justify yourself. This is why it's important that we deal with us with that circumstances all. Him willing to justify himself with what? With the fact that he wasn't loving his neighbor as himself. That's why he was justifying himself. He needed to say something because he had just said this, and now I've got to plead something else. I'm not able. I'm not capable. Do you know we're responsible for the things that God puts in our lives? We can run from that. We can hide from that or act like it's not there. But if it's in our lives, God put it there. This is something we have to deal with. I won't pretend to know what we should do with everything. But we ought to acknowledge the things that are in our life. It's all I do. I don't live where you do, but I got neighbors. You're not responsible for that. I am. I've got neighbors. I'm responsible for that. Him willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, Lord, I love your neighbor. I can't even say who it is. Who is my neighbor? Am I responsible for Mark and his wife across the road. That's a neighbor. Then I got Sheldon Ridge to one side and Mr. Long and Mr. Lane. That's my neighbors. You can't extend it all the way to Sister Yvonne's. Well, that's not exactly a... Well, they're a neighbor. I would take that. But you can't get any past Wesley Chapel for a neighbor. In our sense of thinking of a neighbor, then what's a neighbor? Who am I responsible for? The Lord starts wanting to say who the neighbor is. This is what you're responsible for. Now, Lord, help us. But, you know, I've heard Brother Ed say this on a number of occasions in men's meetings and different things. One of the things, when you get into the idea of marriage, one of the things of the blessings of the marriage is that there's someone to help you to heaven. You ever think of that? Of the responsibility of the soul so put into your hands to boost and to help and to be there to encourage to heaven? Well, how can you? Well, we can justify ourselves with that. Well, what if they don't treat me right? Well, what if they don't do this? What if they don't get up at the right time? Or what if they don't do that? Well, willing to justify yourself, who's my neighbor? What am I responsible for? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem from Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I don't really mean to go through this whole story particularly, but that catches my attention. There come down by him a Levite, and there was a priest. The two men, and it says the same thing about them, they come up and where the man had been there the day they walked down that road. Understand what I'm saying? The day they went by, there was somebody there in need. And there's an expression here that they walked by. I can see it very plainly in my mind that the further they can distance themselves from the sight of it, from the actual event, the further physically they can get away from it, the further their responsibility goes. Right? It's obvious that that's true. If I'm within reach of somebody that fell into the water and needs pulled out, I can pull them out. But if I'm 100 yards away looking and I ain't got reason, then I'm not responsible for that. I'm distanced from it. I never get there in time. Sure, I can do it if I'm right there. Little old lady falls down in the parking lot and she falls down beside me, I'll help her get up. I'm responsible. I'm standing right there. But if I'm across the parking lot or I see it when I drive by in my car, I'm not responsible for that. But that's in my line. Well, this was laid there in their line. And so they removed themselves farther and farther from the responsibility of it. It's like saying it was the woman. It's not my responsibility. It was the woman that did it. It was the devil that did it. It was something else that did it. I'm not responsible for this action. I'm not responsible for this person. I'm not responsible to get it right in my own mind because you caused it. I can have a temper if it comes through certain circumstances. I can have an attitude if it's bad enough the way I was treated. I can have an attitude about that. And that's all okay. Well, no. It's not okay. Because this is about our dealing with ourselves about it. What caused me? What causes me to have this problem is what needs to be fixed that only I'm responsible for. So the man's laying there wounded and all, and a man comes up and he walks to the other side. And I wanted to use that as a little thought in our mind. How many things in our lives do we walk to the other side of the road? In our own lives. That we remove ourselves from the responsibility that you have to get that fixed. We know God can fix our problems, can't He? It's not God that keeps us. We had Sunday school joy. God withholding joy from us? No. Does He withhold grace for forgiveness? No. He don't withhold those things. Does God withhold from people the needs that they have spiritually in their lives to overcome things? The truth of it is, nobody has to overeat. Nobody has to be overcome by the things of the flesh. I say we're prone to it, but God made a way that we can have victory over it. But I hardly am responsible. I mean, I can help you. I mean, my wife's a good cook. It's her fault. Well, I wouldn't eat so much if she wasn't such a good cook. It's just the truth. There's been things that she's made before, and she said, "Honey, how's the food?" My appetite range, my eating range is really, really large. Very few things that I can't eat, and so there's things that I greatly prefer, and there's things that's okay, and that's about, you can get beyond that, but it takes a lot to get beyond the okay. But she's asked before and said, "How did you like that?" And it was an okay. And she knows where she got to get that, because you don't want to be rude, right? Nobody wants to be rude or say, and you should never be that. But I don't want to eat things I don't want to eat either. But she says, "Would you want it again?" And I'll say, no. But if that's what it had, I probably wouldn't eat a second portion. And I'd be thinner. I wouldn't have to worry about it. So I can say it's her fault. No, we can't go to that line. There's something that makes us do what we do. There's something that makes us react the way we do. And we can't even use the excuse. There's things that's true. It was true that Eve is the one that gave to Adam. And it's true that the devil, the serpent, beguile them. That's all true. But it's circumstances that if we hang to these things is because we'll never have the victories that we should have. I'm a certain way because Grandpa was, and Dad was, and so is Marty. And if it's never broke, my children can be that way and they can give it to the grandchildren. But the truth of it is that that's not what, yes, it's true. They said this or they taught this or something, but it doesn't, I don't have to adhere to that. I don't have to give in to those things. One of the ministers said at the camp meeting this year was talking about the two sons. I think that was Brother Ed too, actually. He was talking about the two sons one son says, he says, "I want you to help me in the vineyard." The father says, "Help me in the vineyard." And the son says, "I ain't gonna do it. I'm not helping." And the other son says, "Sure, Dad, I'll be there. I'll help you." Comes out the one that said that I ain't going, he changed his mind and went. And the other one that said that he was going to, he didn't go. He said, "Which one done the will of the Lord?" And Brother Ed's thought was, we don't have to be either one of those. That wasn't exclusive. You could be a son that says, "I'll do it," and do it. You don't have to be either one of those. That's not the perfect way to be. The Lord said, "Which one done the will?" Well, the one that ended up doing it said he wouldn't, but we don't have to be that way either. We aren't limited by those things. We'll be limited in the victory we have if we allow the excuses of life or the circumstances of life to be our excuse. "I've always had trouble getting up in the mornings and I can't get up." Yes, you can. You can get up. "I can't keep from eating too much." Yes, you can. "I've always had a temper that flew up. I can't handle it." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. "Dad had a temper. Grandpa had a temper." That means it's genetic. So you guys watch out when the hammer flies. You can get victory over that. It ain't everybody. It ain't circumstances' fault. "Well, I get frustrated." Hey, I get frustrated. I get in a hurry sometimes. And then there's this statement. "I always get behind a slow driver when I'm in a hurry." Did you know that that's technically true? Because you create a slow driver by going 90 miles an hour. You're bound to come up on behind somebody. You're bound to. You're going too fast. And there you say, "Well, need to get out of the way. Just get out of the way." Well, maybe it's my problem. Lord, help us with our desire to do what the Lord wants us to do, We're going to have to let the circumstances go and look at what the issue is. Those circumstances doesn't bother everybody. It's just bothering me. Maybe the Lord's allowing these things to happen in my life so that I can be responsible for them. We're responsible for the things in our lives. What's always been said, you remember the story of the rich man who fared sumptuously every day and wore purple and all that. And it said that there was a man named Lazarus laid at his gate. He was laid at his gate. Who's responsible for the beggar at the gate? Who would God say was responsible? Or he could say, I wouldn't have these feelings of disgust if that beggar wasn't there. I would be fine with the Lord if it wasn't for that beggar out there that I always have to contend with. I ain't saying that's the way the story says it. I'm just saying that's the way the human thing can be. I wouldn't have had that response had it not been for there. Well, maybe the beggar was laid at your gate for you to deal with. Why do I feel so uncompassionate? Why do I feel so disgusted at a man that's less than I am? Why do I feel that way? I wouldn't feel that way if he wasn't there. But why do I feel that way? Because he is. Maybe I need to deal with me about those kind of issues. It's put at that gate. There's another scripture I wanted to look at in Luke 14. Fifteenth verse says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto them, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they that were, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. Excuses are for human ears. Okay? Because God knows. And listen, like I said, I don't always know how to handle things in life. There's times that we don't say what we really think because it's hard to say. Somebody might suggest something that I think is, forgive my language, stupid. I might say, that's stupid. It would never work. That ain't something I'm going to tell somebody. Well, they might be somebody's that I tell that, but that's not what I'd want to do in a business meeting or something like that, to say that. So I would make an excuse for it. I would say something else sometimes in life when we do that. We say, somebody will come and invite us to something. I know I don't want to go to that. I know that my religion won't let me go to that. I know that my convictions won't let me go to that. But that ain't what I'm going to say. Understand what I'm trying to say? But regardless of the honesty of those kind of things or what we're doing that, it's still only for human ears. My point is, it's for human ears. Because God knows why you ain't going. God knows why you're doing what you're doing. But you know, we make God out to be a human sometimes. As if I don't articulate or somehow he don't know that this is what I'm doing. No, he knows. When we're dealing with the Lord, there's no fantasy here. There's no pretending here. When I want to deal with myself, it's about dealing honestly before the Lord. You would say, Lord, I don't want to do that because this is the way I'm feeling. Because God knows about those things. He knows that that's what the reason in that. He knows whether you say, well, I've been hurt, so I don't want to do that. Or this is the reason it's inside of me. I'm not whole. I'm hurt. I'm bothered. This is why I don't do that. That's the way to deal honest. Lay the circumstances that create. No, it was His fault. This is why. No, Lord. This is why. Do you know we have a song in our book that's a good song? But I have such memories with that song. I'm going to be honest with you here a minute. Okay? Mike Wheeler. Now, most of you ain't going to know this, but some of you will. Remember Mike Wheeler? So I'm just preaching to part of you right now. Remember Mike Wheeler? That was a big trauma to me. A huge trauma to me. And there was a song. Does anybody want to know what that song is? I know some of you know. Abide With Me. Now that's a good song. Every time that song's called, without exception, when that song's called, I don't feel right. I don't feel right because of what Mike did, of what he ended up doing, the mindset that he was in through all that, and the trauma that I had with dealing with him. That song don't register right with me. It ain't the song. Ain't Mike Wheeler. It's me. And I've got to say, Lord, that's me. If that can happen, and it did, then a lot of things can happen, and they do. And the only way to really deal with the issues of life is to own them, is to come and say, this is me, this, Lord, something happened beyond me. And I have feelings and things are beyond me. I don't say that's a thing that necessarily is a hurtful thing. I don't know what the end of those things are. But I just want to express that there's no excuse that covers if it makes me less than I ought to be. If there's somehow something that's not... I mean, I ain't tried to ban the song or anything. Y'all wonder why Brother Marty's wanting to ban. I don't like the song. I can say this, Abide With Me, talking about the Lord. It's a good song. I just don't like the song and haven't since He sung it. I just don't like it. It don't feel right to me. But I realize what it is. It's something that touched something in me that twisted something and made something in there. And I know that if that happens, a lot of things can happen. But I can't wait for the circumstances to change. I can't wait for things to just melt away. I've got to deal with me about those things. And if it was distant enough, now Mike and I was close and we worked together and we was close and that's where it happens at. It don't happen in distant things. If it happened in that relationship, I just about guarantee you that there's things in people right here's life because of their marriages that left places in their life. And if it hadn't have been for her or him or it, but the circumstances happened, I got to go to heaven. I got to get it right with the Lord. I got to be right in the Lord. The Lord did something wonderful for us. And you know what it is? A clean slate anytime. A change of nature. A change of heart. A grace that overcomes what we go through in life. We have hurts and all those things. And if it hadn't been for those things, there's a lot of dysfunction in this world. And it causes totally dysfunctional people. It's amazing how many times I've talked to young children and them tell me about their dad, the other stepdad, and the other dad, and the mom, and the other mom, and the third mom, and I go to my fourth mom. You know how many times I hear little children telling me about that stuff? That's not the way God planned it. And it causes a lot of problems. And those things are real in life. I'm just saying that when we begin to build because of the circumstances, or I would be different, we're losing a great gift of God that's called grace, that will allow us to be what we're supposed to be in whatever the circumstance is. And the circumstance doesn't have to hold me and make me something that I don't have to be. They all with one consent started making excuses, and excuses is not, I bid them to the supper, come to the supper. The answer, the real answer to this is that we don't want the life you're trying to give us. With one consent, they started the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, what person ever bought a piece of ground that they didn't know what they bought? What a lame excuse. I bought a piece of ground, but I don't know where it is or what it looks like. Well, I know that's happened in business or something. I know that's happened, but that's a lame excuse. No, that's not what the answer is. Come on, get real. I don't want to be at your supper. I don't want to eat what you fixed. And I don't want to sit in that presence of those stuffy people. That's the truth. Well, my legs aren't, I can't go to service today. Hold it now. Many a people can hobble their way to service. What's, you not going to service? Listen, I ain't the one to say who can go to service or not. I'm just telling you, God don't get the excuses. It's for humans' ears. Well, it's raining. Or I can't go now. Well, that's a poor excuse. All of these excuses were lame excuses. Bought oxen, or I got married. Bring your wife with you. I got oxen need to be proven. Prove them are. Go into them. No, the truth is, this is the truth. They didn't want it. So they started making excuses for it. Excuses don't work in the Christian life. It don't work. Be honest. You don't have to tell us everything, you know. I'm saying be honest to God. Be honest to the Lord and say, I don't want to do this. I know I should. And you got the grace to help me to do, and do it with joy. I can do this with joy. I want this to be a part of my life. It isn't fun. I want it to be. Do you know what? I would advise you to stay serving the Lord even if it's miserable. I would advise you to keep coming to service even if you about can't stand it. But that sure is a pitiful way to live. I remember coming here years ago. Brother Sammons was still here to tell you how long ago it was. Brother Sammons was still here. And I remember coming to service one day, and I didn't want to be here. And that's just the truth. I sat down right there. I used to sit there. I sat down right there, and I thought, I sure don't want to be here. And I'm going to tell you, that hit me like a hammer. And I put a prayer request in right then, or that day. You all pray for me. I want to have joy in coming. I want to feel and make this worthwhile. You know, you can go because you're supposed to go. You can go because it's duty. You can find an excuse for every time when you that's good, like it's good. But you know, there is another way. Lord, make this worth it to me. Lord, give me a heart for it. Lord, give me a heart. Make me to I want to go. I want that. I don't want to embarrass Sister Laura, but she said something today. She said, this learning's exciting. Sister, I remember that day. Been a long time ago now for me. It's still exciting, but it ain't exciting like it was. I remember that. Give me something else, Lord. Give me something new. oh, just something fresh, something new. Lord would do it over and over. Maybe that ought to be more of our prayer. See, an excuse. Lord, give me the heart for this. So now I'm going along different. I'll tell you the difference in a heart. I'm going along without the heart. I'm going along and it's like, I'm beaten and robbed. Get up here. Maybe nobody will know that I ain't sure that could have been just clothesline, or that could have just been a rock. I didn't see it plainly, so I make sure I don't. Or I'm going along and I see an opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Now, I wouldn't advise this for everybody. But I got a call one time. I was in prayer. Saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And a brother from Indiana called and asked me if I'd come up and hold Sunday services for him. He wasn't going to be there. And he asked if I'd go up there and take the services for the weekend. I said, brother, don't even have to pray about it. I was in prayer asking the Lord, and this is the answer. So we got up there, and I was somewhere around Clarksburg, and I started praying on the way up. That's a long ways to drive by yourself. I said, Lord, give me a passenger. Give me a hitchhiker. Give me somebody to talk to here. And we're going along, and I look way up the road there, and I seen a guy out there, and I said, Lord, that's him. Thank you, Lord. That's my passenger right there. And do you know that that guy was only going, he was going south towards Charleston when he hit 77, which ain't a very far drive. But when we got over there, of course, it was about 20 degrees, and he was out in the cold, and that car was, heater was nice, and going along, and finally got over to there, and I said, well, I think, you said you're going south, and he said, no, he said, if you don't mind, I think I'll just go on to Columbus or something. He said, go on, keep it going. He ended up going all the way near to Dayton with me. But I want to tell you, the Lord gave me that, but I had a heart for it. I had a heart for it. It wasn't somebody. I want to tell you, I was courting Linda at the time, and one of our prayer, we'd pray on the phone, and this was her prayer more than mine, but she used to pray for homeless people. Regularly. About every time we prayed, she would pray for the ones that was out there that was homeless, that didn't have any, and this guy was homeless. He had stayed the night under the bridge over there at Clarksburg. And when we got out over there at that Travel America truck stop deal over there, when we got out, he got out, I had bought him a couple Whoppers. He didn't even have no teeth. It was awful thing seeing him eat them sandwiches. He had to pull them apart with his fingers to get them in his mouth. Didn't have any teeth. Took him over there and got out, and I said, do you have any money to get anything with? And he didn't have any nothing. He hadn't eaten for days. And I gave him a little money, and he looked back into me. I'm telling you what, he looked back in the car, and he said, he told me thank you. Thank you for the ride and everything. And he looked back in there, and this is what he said. I never said anything to him either about it. He looked back in there and said, continue to pray for us. I'm telling you what, that put shivers up me. That man walked away entertaining angels unaware. I don't know, but that man said, continue to pray for us or something like that. And I never said nothing about praying for him, or I never prayed for homeless people or anything. And he said to continue to pray for him. You know, there's a difference when you have a heart for it. You don't have a heart for it. You drive by a guy without compassion. And I don't care. I'm not involved. It's not my responsibility. But when you have a heart, it changes it. The opportunities broaden. Is the people in our life our responsibility? Am I my brother's keeper? I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, I speak for myself, I feel in danger with my soul of the prosperity of the day and the mediocrity of the day. and then just going on, I feel endangered. And I can make a lot of excuses for it. And there isn't any. There just isn't any. So Lord, help us as we go through this life to deal honestly with ourselves. And when you pass by that one that's in need, don't make an excuse about it. Ask the Lord about it. Ask the Lord about whether this is fulfilling or not coming. You can say, well, it'd be a lot better off if it wasn't Brother Marty there doing it. And I'll agree with you. But it won't hold up in its excuse. It won't hold up. Or you could say, well, if we had a better singing congregation than we have, it would be better to go. And it may even be true. But it's no excuse. If somebody had a more fiery testimony, it'd be better to go. Then get one. Get one. And you'll feel yourself fulfilled when you tell it. And the Lord will be realer for us for it. Lord, help us today. Don't know how better to preach this message other than this is what I felt like the Lord gave me, was this idea about dealing with yourself. Make it about your own soul, not the circumstance. I know circumstances get us there, thank the Lord, for the vehicles. But they get us to the understanding many times of where we're at. Then we can deal with ourselves about it. And I don't need to be put saying it's Brother Mance or it's Brother Keith or it's Brother that. No, it's me. It's me. I need to deal with me about that and just see how well I can do with the Lord. You all pray for me. I want to be faithful.